better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light Lemon Tea, a unique twist on America's favorite light lager.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
You're at SEC Media Days. You don't really leave the hotel.
Yeah, everybody says, man, isn't it wonderful to go to Media Days? Isn't that a lot of fun? And they're not being sarcastic. They're being genuine. And I remember when I was wet behind the ears like Ty Richardson and new to this, and the first two or three were very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then by about 10, 11, 12 of them in a row, you realize, like one day down there, I was down there, one, I remember what year it was, but it like rained, like a monsoon rain. It's like one of those years, like one of these hurricanes or tropical storms came up off the Gulf, and it just like rained, like 4 or 5 inches in a day. Someone said, what do you think about that rain out there today? I'm like, rained?
Yeah.
Because you are, as you said, your head's buried down in your work.
Mm-hmm.
You're inside a hotel in a convention room, meeting room space for like 4 straight days.
Yep.
Buried up in a computer editing audio.
Yep. It's almost like you're updating confined in your little world, your little SEC world.
I'm telling you, because I know what y'all have been through. If you do it right, that's more exhausting than what we do here on
yes.
a regular basis.
Yes.
It's different.
Well, and it throws you off, too.
Mentally exhausting.
Yeah, because you're in a hotel room, and but your schedule still remains the same as far as work goes. So, yeah, it takes you a little while to get adjusted to it. Yeah. And by the time you're adjusted, you're all the way back home.
So, I know. Yeah, exactly. So, I would imagine you are happy to be here on a Friday and not elsewhere.
I am. You know, it's kind of like anytime you go on a vacation. I'm not saying SEC Media Days was necessarily
a vacation.
But it's like when you go on and it's like, yeah, this you're excited about it. You're enjoying it. But at a certain point in time, you're like, you know, I'm ready to come back. Yeah. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
It's like going to Vegas. About day four, I'm ready to go home.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, I went to the beach a few weeks ago. And that's kind of, and I know it's the beach and it's lovely and we had a great time, but at some point you're like, you know what? I'm ready to sleep in my own bed.
Yep.
I'm ready to get back in my old routine. I'm ready for it. That's
so,
what I'm going through.
What was you guys' big takeaway? I mean, not just Arkansas, but, you know, what'd you learn down there? What opinions changed based on seeing it for yourself firsthand?
I wouldn't say any of my opinions have changed necessarily. I think that it's just nice to...
Do you now believe Alabama is going to win the West based on listening to Nick Saban?
Well, yeah, I know, because I had to wait until I heard from Nick Saban first. I was holding out judgment.
Do you believe Tua Tagovailoa is going to be one of the better top two or three quarterbacks in this league? Are you convinced now?
I don't know, Tommy. I'm going to have to do more research. I may have to get him on for an interview first.
Are you convinced that Nick Saban, this experiment at Alabama may work out?
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. Day at a time. All that fun stuff. No, I mean,
Media Days is fun. I mean, I enjoyed watching it from here. Probably enjoyed watching it as much from the studio as I did being on Radio Row. I don't know. I may go to Atlanta next year just because I haven't been to the College Football Hall of Fame. And heck, if the station's going to pay for the trip, might as well go. But
amen to that, brother.
You know, so Ty can stay here and push the buttons.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I think Ty lives for this week, though. I think if Ty had a choice between Christmas morning and wearing his little footy pajamas down to the family gathering at the Christmas tree to open presents,
see what Santa brought him,
or go to Media Days, I think he's going to Media Days.
I ate coal every year, so yeah, Media Days a little better.
Yeah, no, I mean. It is enjoyable. I mean, it's
really
cool.
I remember when I was as giddy about it as he was.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's for somebody who's in our business, it's cool to meet new people and to be able to see, you know, see coaches walk by. I mean, Nick Saban was within 5 feet of me. When's the next time I'm going to say Nick Saban's within 5 feet of me? You know, it's just kind of a cool little thing. Not saying that, you know, it'd be great to get an interview and all that stuff, but not only seeing him, but seeing his, you know, posse that's walking around with him. Where it's like a security
his
guard.
Detail.
Yeah, I feel like it's Secret Service around. Like, I see a guy in a suit that I hadn't seen before. I'm like,
Trump's taking notes on the detail that Saban has. There's more people around Saban than around the President of the United States.
Yeah, I start wondering about these individuals. I'm like, okay, so are you here working for the hotel or the SEC, or are you Alabama
security? I've seen that because it's guys in dark suits with little things in their ears with a little squiggly wire, you know? And they got the deal in their sleeve. It's like Clint Eastwood in that, what is it, Line of Duty or in the line of whatever that. I mean, it's like he's got Secret Service security detail with him.
Yep.
And I'm like, what do you think's going to happen at media on Radio Row? Or in what,
I mean, Alabama fans, man. They're crazy.
Yes.
Auburn fans, crazy.
I mean, the media's not. I mean, media isn't going to attack him. Too lazy to do that, you know? Too afraid of him.
Yeah. I guess it's just to keep from people walking up to him and try to get interviews instead of, you know, talking to him the way. I don't know. It's like a celebrity status is what he comes into.
I don't know. 5 years ago or something like that, he needed to take a bathroom break, and they cleared out a bathroom, made everybody leave. I'm like, well, what if you were in the middle of the act, you know, because Saban needed to take a leak, you know. Boy, people were mad about that. Who do they think he is?
You don't have that same privilege?
No. Nor do I want it.
Oh, okay. I'm sure you have it at your house, though, right? You at least have that privilege.
Let me tell you, when you got kids, that's iffy. You know, that's a 50-50 deal.
Just got to make sure the door's locked.
You'll just when you have young children, that sometimes is the only peace and solitude, the only quiet place you can find in the house.
Mm.
You okay? You've been in there an hour. Yeah, I'm a stomach hurt.
Yeah, checking Twitter on there.
It's the only place with peace and quiet.
Yeah, scrolling on your phone there, but. But no, that I remember that story about him having the entire bathroom cleared out for him. But that's what it's become. And Tommy, I know that because when was the last media days you went to? Was it 2015, 16?
No, 17.
Oh, okay, so you went to 17. Okay. Well, I'm sure.
Well, it's only the second one I've missed. I've been to every one since 2000. I went from 5 to 17 without missing a year.
And I doubt the first one you went to, it was on, television wall-to-wall coverage of SEC media days back then. It shows the growth of it, right?
Either 16 or 17 was one of those two,
right? Yeah. But it's just not what it used to be. And I'm saying this because the first one I went to was in 2013, and it's just not what it used to be. It's not. It's way too serious now, man.
Yeah, dude. When we first started going, we'd do the morning show, which was 2 hours then, and then we had Chuck Barrett's afternoon sports wrap on, and it started at 5. But because the sales department got it sold, which was great, we did 2 hours before Chuck.
Whoa, hey now.
So we were on from 7 to 9 in the morning and then 3 to 5 in the afternoon. So we did split shift 4 hours a day from Radio Row.
And how long was Chuck's show?
5 to 8, and he wasn't
five to
there.
8, okay.
He didn't go that time. In fact, I don't think he ever did his show from there. So that's what we did the first few years. And the only good thing about that is back then, they had a Don Shula Steakhouse, which I understand is no longer in the Winfrey Hotel.
It is not.
But they used to bring steaks out to everybody one day a week.
Once again, it's not what it used to be.
But I think in some ways it's better because they didn't have Dave and Buster's back. They have an event every night now at Media Days.
Right.
You know, for the hospitality point. But what you're actually there for is the news and the information, the interviews, the stuff that really is going to... We hope buoy up the show for the next 3 weeks. We're going to find out if Ty did any work while he was down there. Because we ought to have debatable. 3 weeks of content that Ty has prepared for us for the next 3 weeks based on the work he was doing away from the show.
Yeah. And there was, of course, content. There was comments. There was interviews. There was all of that. But I was talking to a lot of media members down there, and they agree that you don't have the coaches going in there just having fun with it, where you felt like there used to be that. Like, talking season was scored by Steve Spurrier, and it's exactly what it is. You're supposed to go in there and just have fun. Be laid back, be chilling. But now it's like all these coaches come in, and they are so calculated and so serious and about, we got to make sure we say the right things at the right time and how to say it so we don't go viral for the wrong thing, da-da-da-da. And it's just like... You're sitting there, and I was in the main room, I believe it was for Barry Odom, the very first go. And I'm looking kind of back behind me, and there are media members looking like they're falling asleep, like people in the big room. Because it's just...
Well, it's cool, and it's comfortable in there.
Yeah, it was
it's a good place to take a nap.
Yeah, and they were just sitting there just so bored out of their mind because there was just nothing there. There was just no personality that was being showcased like you felt like there was before. And I'm not saying that that's like the number one reason you want to be there, but it certainly makes it a lot more fun and interesting, especially for here, say, on our show. And I'm not saying I wish Brett Bielema was back, but, man, you remember how great it was when it felt like when Brett Bielema was about to take the stand at SEC Media, I'm like, man, I wonder what's the soundbite going to be this year. You know, he was always good for that. Same with Les Miles, same with Steve Spurrier. So you don't have that anymore. And I think that was kind of just my main, complaint, but it's not like a little change unless coaches change. But it just, that was the one thing I was really disappointed by, is just there wasn't that big soundbite, that big storyline, that big thing that just took the entire media days by storm.
Anything from Gus yesterday that, you know, because that's obviously one of the key home games for Arkansas this year. Anything from Gus that you said, hey, that perked me up?
No. Not really, because I feel like he's just rehearsed the same speech every single year, because it seems like he's in the same situation every single year he enters media days.
So he speaks at media days yesterday afternoon. I go to pick some tacos up last night at Juan's Mexican restaurant on Towson Avenue in Fort Smith. And as I'm loading up my car and getting ready to leave, guess who pulls into the parking lot at Juan's?
I am assuming Gus Malzahn.
Gus Malzahn. So he spoke. He spoke at media, and the reason, well, what is he doing there? Well, A, Fort Smith is his hometown. B, he is speaking at an event that starts in 3 minutes in Fort Smith, the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast. He is the featured speaker this morning. So he went directly from, I can verify, SEC Media Days to Juan's Mexican Restaurant.
What do you think he enjoyed more, Media Days or Juan's?
Juan's, yeah. I guarantee. The chips and salsa.
He doesn't seem the type that enjoys Media Days.
It was interesting. I called you immediately, and I said, where are y'all at on the road? You said, I'm about Memphis.
Yep.
I said, wow. The privilege of a private jet is real.
Yep. And what made it funny, and I didn't tell you this, Tommy, but when you called me, I was literally like this close to falling asleep by now.
So I saved your life?
Yeah. Ty was driving. I had Ty drive. Which was a scary moment.
You let Ty drive?
I was that tired.
I saved your life by waking you up to keep an eye on him.
Yes, absolutely.
I saved a life, folks.
Yep, that's what you're here good for,
Tommy. Lifesaver.
It was like a little angel was whispering in your ear to call John about Gus Malzahn. Save his life. But no, it was. So I'm sitting there, and I'm half asleep of sorts, and I'm so tired because I didn't get much sleep the night before.
Oh,
and Tommy's sitting here saying, hey, Gus Malzahn's here. And I want to be like, Tommy, I love you, but I don't give a rip right now. I just want to go back to sleep.
You just want
to
be home.
I just want to be home.
You sounded irritated when I called. I couldn't tell if you were just tired.
I was tired. That's all it was. I was just
I know
exhausted.
How it is, man. And then you get to that Memphis traffic, and then you got to endure driving from Memphis to Little Rock.
Which is, oh.
Oh.
I will say we got lucky, though. Traffic on our way back was not bad. The weather was not bad. On our way down there, it was just a nightmare. But on our way back, we got really lucky there.
Just getting through Memphis.
Yeah.
To go to the other side to hit, what is it, 78 or whatever that you take? God almighty.
Yeah. It's just like from that point, I may pull into the Memphis airport and say, fly me home.
Yeah. I mean, I have tried that 4 or 5 different ways. I think I've got the best secret shortcut down around by the airport, but I mean, there's just no good way. Just no good way.
Mm-mm.
Memphis, driving through Memphis is the worst part of that trip.
Yep.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light Lemon Tea, a unique twist on America's favorite light lager.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Welcome back into the Morning Rush, broadcasting live from SEC Media Days here in Hoover, Alabama. We're now joined by the running back for the Arkansas Razorbacks, DeVoy Whaley. DeVoy, appreciate you joining us, man. What's your experience of SEC Media Days so far?
Man, it's been a great experience, man. I'm looking forward to having a good time, man. Enjoying the rest of the day.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on I saw you eyeing our NCAA football over here. Were you a big fan growing up playing this game?
Oh, man. I had pretty much almost every single one.
Hell yeah.
I played it almost every day.
Yeah. Well, I know. That's the thing is I bought it back, and I'm starting to get addicted again. Makes me miss the game. makes me miss the game even more. Well, let's talk about this upcoming football season. Obviously, it's a big year for you entering into your senior season at running back and going through what you went through last year at 2-10. You battled through some injuries. Just kind of what's your mindset, how you feeling physically heading into this year, just what's your update on you?
I'm feeling pretty good, feeling healthy. Like I said, last season wasn't the best for all of us, but you know, we just have to go in, control what we control, focus on the future, take one day at a time.
I know your coaches have challenged you to develop that what was listed as a half a step of speed and really gain a little more speed through the hole. What have you done in the offseason to do that, and
I think your coaches feel like you're a little faster. Do you feel like you're faster heading in to your senior year?
Yeah, I do. I really went ahead and, you know, just focused on nutrition-wise and, you know, just focused more on my body. And it's been paying off a lot, like you said. And I've gotten faster, you know. You know, just like I said, nutrition, man, it does wonders to the body, and it helps in a big way. So,
let me ask you about the running back group that you have back there, because a lot of these positions at Arkansas have been changing, been a lot of new additions, but the running back group still got Rakeem Boyd from last year. You still got Chase Hayden that's being into the mix. TJ Hammonds, I know, is going to be playing a role. Just how do you feel now that you have basically the same group coming back, and what type of impact are you hoping that you guys can really make in this offense in 2019?
Oh, it means a lot. You know, just being able to play with those special group of guys, you know, they make me better. You know, we push each other each and every day to make each other better. And that's all we can do. If we do that, you know, we could be the best group in the conference and the best group in the nation. So,
Rakeem Boyd wears number 5, and we know who used to wear number 5 about 15 years ago around here. Do y'all ever talk about that as backs, or ever watch McFadden's tapes, or – how much do y'all understand, or ever does it ever even come up in y'all's conversations about the history of running back and the greatness that Arkansas's had in previous years in that position?
We talk about McFadden every now and then. He comes back to visit us and things like that. Also, you know, we always talk about the history of the Razorbacks. You know, a lot of the great things that happened in the past. So yeah, we do every now and then.
You guys were fairly young when he played there, so I didn't know what the kind of connection was. I mean, you'd have been what, 4 or 5 years old when he was playing in Arkansas? So
yeah, I was pretty young.
Yes, I mean, I didn't know what the connection was, but obviously when fans see number 5 in the backfield, they have thoughts, they have memories, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, too, because obviously running back, there's a lot of expectations for y'all, but the other conversation I know fans are curious about is always going to be quarterback. And, right. You know, last year, what the quarterback room looked like going into this time of year, and this year it's like night and day. I mean, you got a completely different guys of roster in there. So let me ask you just about the quarterback situation with Ben Hicks and obviously Nick Starkle coming in, Connor Nolan just sticking with baseball. Just what's your overall feelings from the running back perspective about the quarterback room now and heading into 2019?
The quarterback room is pretty strong, man. They're all working hard. You know, they're all competing. They're all great leaders, man. They're leading this team in the right path. You know, we want to be more player led, and you know, we've been focusing on that, and a lot of us have been doing that, stepping up as leaders. As far as myself and some of the other seniors, and even some younger guys are stepping up in that leadership role. So,
yeah, the offensive line lost 3 starters off an offensive line that had challenges last year. What have you seen from that group in the offseason, and what can fans expect this year out of the performance of the offensive line that's charged with opening the holes for you guys to run through?
We have depth at that position now. You know, there's a lot of young guys stepping up. Even some of the guys that's there that's experienced, you know, stepping up as well. You know, we feel very comfortable about those guys. They're all competing. They all want to play. You know, as long as they keep that same attitude, you know, they'll be pretty good. So,
let me ask you this, just from your perspective, because obviously coming off a 2-10 is tough for anybody, especially the players. But heading into this season, fans, you know, they're excited, but they're also cautiously optimistic too. Just from your perspective, what would you say and tell the fans, Razorback fans, it's going to be different this year than last year? What's going to be the main thing that's going to be different?
Man, just going to continue to fight. Just going to continue to fight each and every game, man. Not let up, go hard each and every single play. I feel like if we do that, you know, the outcomes, you know, we'd be pretty good. So,
yep. We get to focus a lot on the outside on various games in the schedule. And I know players and coaches use the cliche, it's one game at a time and it's Portland State. But that Ole Miss game week 2, that has to be looming large in the thoughts of the players and the staff, knowing how big that is. And then also to get that winless streak off the back of this team. Talk about the opportunity this team has in their second game of the year with Ole Miss and the first conference game that comes earlier in the slate than usual for Razorback football.
It's a great opportunity knowing that, you know, we get them pretty early in the season. But, you know, we have to focus on one game at a time, and that's the first game, and that's Portland State. Yeah. You know, and then we'll take that next step and focusing on them. But, you know, like I said, we just have to take one day at a time, one play at a time, one game at a time. So,
Devon Whaley, running back for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Really appreciate you hopping on with us, man. Enjoy rest of media days.
No
all right, man.
Appreciate
we'll be catching
it.
You around. All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light Lemon Tea, a unique twist on America's favorite light lager.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush, broadcasting live from SEC Media Days here in Hoover, Alabama. We are now joined by the defensive lineman for the Arkansas Razorbacks, Sosa Agheem. Sosa, appreciate you joining us, man. What do you think of SEC Media Days so far?
Appreciate y'all for having me, man. It's been great. Just a lot of talking. It's no problem at all, man. You can talk all day, so it's nice. It's nice to be invited here and be able to represent the team.
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm sure you've been asked about this ever since you arrived. The doll that you're carrying around. What's the story behind it?
Okay, it basically represents my little cousin. My little cousin was murdered. And, I mean, this doll basically just brings more light to his murder. It's an unsolved homicide. Mm-hmm. So it basically just brings more light to his name. I understand what people say, do you understand what Child's Play is? I definitely understand. I've definitely watched the movie.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, Charles Lee Ray was the character in the movie that became Chucky.
Right.
And it was like, he was a bad soul before he became Chucky. My cousin was a good soul, so it's a good dog.
I understand.
So obviously, you know, wanting to raise awareness and keep his story alive, I'm sure.
Most definitely. I got on the bottom, Long Live John Neal. So, you know what I'm saying? Every time I'm able to put his name out there still, Long Live John Neal. He's still with me. He's able to see everything. He was never able to come to a game, but now he's able to see everything I see, everything I used to tell him about. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just Texas Canada, like, he sees more now.
That's an awesome story.
Certainly keep that in our thoughts. All right, football-wise, making the move to the inside, full-time move to tackle. Talk to us more about this move and this decision with you and Coach Chavis and Coach Caldwell and the coaches and how this is going to work this year with you being fully committed to the interior part of the defensive line.
I feel like it's going to work pretty good. I feel like Coach Chavis knows what he's doing. He's been doing it for longer than I've been alive. I ain't trying to tell his real age, but he's been doing it for a while. So
he has been.
He definitely has been. So he knows what he's doing, man. He's going to put you in the right position to make plays, not just defensive line-wise, but everybody. So you won't just need to make the plays to come to you, because the plays are going to come.
Now, obviously, the defensive line, you got to have a good one to be able to compete in the SEC, no doubt about it. So you're returning, though. You got some guys around you that you're returning. But tell me about some of the newcomers that are coming in, because obviously the key to having great defensive line is having some great depth as well. So what can you tell us about the newcomers?
Yeah, and I feel like we got great depth. We got, especially defensive tackle-wise, you got me, T.J. Smith, Isaiah Nichols, Jonathan Marshall. And then you got the new guys like TC, you got Enoch Benjamin, you got who else on the inside? You got Enoch Benjamin, you got TC, and a couple more freshmen. So, like, oh yeah, Marcus Miller, like, big guy, like, probably bigger than me right now. So, like, we got so much potential, and like, we really ready to just show the potential and the hard work that's been going into it.
When you look at this defensive unit as a whole, I mean, obviously last year and letting some games slip away in the fourth quarter. A lot of people have talked about toughness with this team. What's went into it from the seniors and the 16 seniors that are leading this team and this coaching staff to instill that mental toughness to not let some of these games get away late like they have in recent years?
Basically making the plays we need to make when we need to make them, and making the plays that we probably wasn't seen to make, but make them anyway. What it basically came down to, I would say, is we didn't make enough plays. It wasn't I can't even say toughness or anything like that. First of all, this is a resume, so I think nobody is going to just be like, oh, well, I don't want to play no more. Like let's let them get sacked, or let's let them go score a touchdown. It's nothing like that, because that's going to be on your film when it's time to go to the next level. So people are working. It's just you got to make the plays that you're supposed to make, and we wasn't making those plays.
Well, just asking about the mindset of everything, you know, it's going 2-10 is tough. I mean, for anybody, sir. And I know it's especially tough for the players. But heading into this next year, where you get another shot at it, you get another chance to improve on it and make it right. I mean, what's the mindset going into that, knowing that nobody's going to be picking you to do anything, nobody's going to feel confident in your abilities? But what's the mindset for the team, especially the defense, going into that?
Basically, just make plays. Basically, just show everybody that we've been working. Like, we haven't been just sitting on the couch all day watching TV shows. Like, we've been working. We've been getting up at 5, too. Like, we not, like, everybody else is not the only people getting up working. We working, too. And we working with a purpose. It's not just working just to say you working and post it on Twitter or IG. Like, oh, yeah, you see it. Like, no, we really working. We really getting to it.
Senior year, last go around. You approach it mentally any different? Thoughts about, you know, when you're going in, you know, it's your last go around with some of these road venues, and certainly at home in Fayetteville.
Most definitely, man. It's kind of crazy, because like the seniors always tell you, man, it's gonna go by pretty fast. But you never really just say, oh yeah, I see what you're saying, until actually get here. So now I'm in that position. It's like, and it's actually here, and it's going by pretty fast. Like, I can bleep my eyes and remember my sophomore year moves in a 2-4, 2-3 defense. And it's kind of crazy, but I just want to be legendary. This is the last time I'm going to be able to competitively wear 3 again at a big stage. So I just want to be legendary. That's all I can say, just being legendary.
You mentioned that number. I mean, it is rare for a defensive lineman to have a single digit. I mean, yes, that's the ultimate sign of respect when a guy comes in and he's got the single digit as a D lineman. You know, walk us through how that came about. And having one of those single digit numbers,
but basically in high school I was 33 and I wanted a multiplication of 3. You know, Jadeveon Clowney really made the single digit big, so it was like, yeah, I want a multiplication of 3. That's a single digit, either 3, 6, or 9. But 6 and 9 was already taken, so I was able to get 3, and that was something I wanted to get that I talked to Coach B about when I first came in.
Sosa, McTelvin Aguin, defensive lineman for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Appreciate you joining us, Sosa, man. Have fun the rest of SEC Media Days, man. And good luck this season if we don't get to catch up with you.
Yes, sir. Go Hawks.
All right, appreciate it. There you have it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light Lemon Tea, a unique twist on America's favorite light lager.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush, broadcasting live from SEC Media Days here in Hoover, Alabama. I'm now joined by ESPN SEC Network studio anchor Peter Burns. And Peter, you know, this is probably the third year, at least in a row, that I've had you on the show at SEC Media Days. And now you're back in Hoover, back at it, and you're making the rounds this morning, man.
We are, and I'm going to hang here. In fact, I'm going to have all my rest of my radio interviews come be done at this table so I can play NCAA football the whole time. I mean, that is brilliant. In fact, it makes me want to cry a little bit and shed a little tear. I called my agent a couple days ago, and you know, whenever they started talking about this NLI, about possibly, you know, talking to players about getting paid for their likeness, I said, I want to be on the forefront of this. Let the people over at EA Sports know, I don't care what role I play in it. I just want to be in the game. Because sooner or later, NCAA football is going to come back
on
the video
is.
Game. And I don't care if it's 2032. I was like, I just want to have one. I just want to see my name in the credits. That would be the coolest thing ever as far as a bucket list deal.
Yeah, may make you like a sideline reporter or something.
That's
like
it.
That.
So
yeah.
Well, help put me in as a mascot.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Just,
like, I'm in.
Just have your name in it at some point. But no, it's been awesome to have this, and so many people walking by being like, oh, how much I missed that game.
Right.
How much it was just such a part of people's lives.
And I'm looking at how the graphics were in 2014, and they're good, right? They're solid. And you think about, like, and I'm a gamer myself.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how lifelike it would be in 2020 or 2021 if it came back. Oh, now I'm going down an absolute rabbit hole looking at this game. I got to stop it.
I know. I had to update the rosters, though, so we can actually know what's going on over here. So, but, man, I, you know, there's a lot of things I want to get to with you, obviously. But I want to start with the Arkansas Razorbacks because in the state of Arkansas, I'm trying to sit here and I'm trying to tell people, all right, here's some reasons why you can be optimistic. Here's some reasons why it may go a lot better this year than 2-10 last year. Can you help me out at all? Can you give me something? Give the Razorback fans something.
Well, I think that when you hired a coach like Chad Morris, you knew that he was going to work a plan when it came to recruiting, and you knew that his style of football was going to be a little bit more fast-paced, quicker. Brett Bielema was never going to be fast-paced and quicker, right?
Right.
And so if you're trying to say, it's like saying, hey, I just bought this restaurant that used to be a Chinese food restaurant, and we're going to use the same ingredients to cook an Italian food, right?
Like, yeah.
It doesn't work. It's going to take a while until you go to the kitchen and put the right ingredients into that kitchen. So I'm excited about that for no other reason as I remember talking to people in Lexington after year one of Mark Stoops.
Mm-hmm.
And I can vividly remember Mitch Barnhart giving Mark Stoops an extension after 2-10 the first year, because Mitch looked at it and goes, listen, I don't care about the record this year. Hell, I don't even care about the record next year. Are we getting better as a program? And I don't know that to be the case about Chad yet, but that's some of the stuff that we find out this year. So, again, I think Arkansas fans, to their credit, I don't think that they have this pie in the sky. Hey, if it's not 9-3 this year, I'm going to be disappointed.
Right.
I think they're realistic to say you have to show improvement, and I can already see that with the recruiting classes that Chad's bringing a little bit of energy to.
Well, and that's what a lot of people are hoping on, is just the talent coming in, but also they have to worry about going through the gauntlet of the SEC West. And I think that that's what Razorback fans are kind of nervous about, is because they see a team like Ole Miss, for instance, that's the second week of the season that they play.
That's
it's
a big game, by the way.
It's going to probably be deciding on whether or not to go to a bowl game in a lot of cases for both teams. But on the other side of it, though, it's like, okay, well, if you get past Ole Miss, great. But then you still got the rest of the West where it just seems like you're so far away from even getting close to them.
Yeah, but I mean, almost to a certain extent, I think that's a good litmus test for Chad Morris. Like, he needs to know that, right? He needs to know how close we are, because if all of a sudden, you know, if you're not tested, I remember some of the, you know, Sumlin teams back in the day where they would just zip through Lamar and Sam Houston State, and they're feeling, hey, man, we're 5-0, we're 6-0, we're ranked higher. That they played somebody that was worth the you-know-what, and they get waxed. And so, to me, I'd rather kind of know where I'm at, where my deficiencies are in year two, so I can address that, than kind of putting some window dressing. I think it's more important for Arkansas football to be 5-7 this year and really know where you need to go forward than have some kind of, hey, we made 7-5, but it was kind of got by the teeth of our, you know, or the hair on our back here. I don't even know if that's even a saying.
Skin of our teeth.
Skin of our teeth.
Whatever.
Things,
we get you.
It's been a long week already. It's only Tuesday. But I would rather for him to identify what the shortcomings are.
Right.
And he's been able to do that before. And you gave him the keys to this program because he can recruit. You got to give him time to recruit.
Well, one of the things I know has fans kind of looking forward to maybe the next year or two in Chad Morris in the development is, of course, his quarterback. His quarterback means everything. I mean, we got 9 of them here at SEC Media Day. His quarterback is everything. Well, they added Nick Starkel, who's actually got legitimate SEC experience when he was at Texas
A&M. Remember last year, this time, we thought Starkel was going to be the starter for A&M, and all of a sudden Jimbo's like, flipped a coin. He thought Mon was a little bit more ready just to scramble because he had some issues with the offensive line. Mon ends up starting, and Starkel's there.
Yeah. So, I mean, how big of an addition for Arkansas, Chad Morris would be?
Yeah.
I know people think Ben Hicks is going to get the start just because he's got more experience, but maybe as the season goes on, maybe there's a switch there. But I think having a guy that has legit SEC experience is going to take him a long way, too.
I think Hicks knows the scheme better. But at the same time, Starkel is more talented. And so I think once Starkel gets a little bit more of an understanding of this offense, then he'll play. Also, I go back to Jake Fromm at Georgia. What made Jake a great quarterback and where he's at right now at Georgia is because he had to battle Jacob Eason. He beat him out. He also had to battle Justin Fields to a certain extent, beat him out. And so I think competition in a lot of ways is good. And I think actually having Hicks and having Starkel, I think it raises the bar for both of those guys.
Let me ask you a little bit more generally about the SEC. We're going to have the order of finish, and I'm trying to maybe be bold, maybe go out on a limb, maybe find some other team besides just Alabama on the west and Georgia on the east.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And that's fine.
No one's expecting that this year. And the only one that I would feel comfortable saying that has the best chance of happening is Missouri over Georgia.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is that I think Missouri, you got your crossover manageable games in Arkansas and Ole Miss, at those games that they probably will be favored by. And I just, there was something about Barry Odom's kind of aura around the room yesterday. They kind of, you always kind of know from coaches how they handle the media days, how comfortable they are with their team.
Right.
And so I think Missouri has that, And don't sleep on LSU as well, too. I, there's a potential and there's a roadmap, and people laugh when I say this, to LSU to run the table outside of the Alabama game because they're in Tuscaloosa this year, yet be 11-1 and use the same roadmap that Alabama used a couple years ago in 2017 where they didn't win the West, yet still won the national championship. I'm not saying LSU wins the national championship, but I think there's a distinct chance that that's a 10-win, if not 11-win team. And if that one loss is to Alabama on the road and you ran the table and everything else, you could be looking at a college football playoff LSU Tiger team.
Last one before I let you get out of here real quick. NCAA football, we're big fans of the game.
Yeah.
In all your history, what was your favorite team to play with?
You know, it's so funny. Well, LSU, because I'm a born and raised Baton Rouge guy. But to me, I would always get UTSA, where I played college golf at. At the time, we didn't have a football team. So I would create the team and then turn them into this dynasty guys. And by like year eight of the dynasty, I'd have like red shirt Heisman Trophy winners. So
that was always
fun to take one team that was just random and see what you could do with them.
Yeah, I was always an 07 West Virginia, Pat White, all those guys.
Oh, that was just cheating. No,
I know.
That wasn't fair.
I know.
Get out of the pocket.
I just wanted to win, man.
I don't blame you.
I just wanted to win.
I don't blame you.
Peter Burns of the ESPN and SEC Network anchor. Really appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of SEC Media Days.
John, thanks, bud.
All right, appreciate it, man.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.